From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Always Dreaming with a 2.5 length lead at 16th to go. Looking at Lee is second. Then comes Battle of Midway, Classic Empire. They're coming to the line, and the dream comes true. Always Dreaming has won the Kentucky Derby.
They come past the 16th. It's Gervin. Gervin Brian Hernandez Jr. for Joe Sharp. And Gervin has won the TwinSpires.com Louisiana Derby.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Conquest Mo Money, here's the champ, Classic Empire. It is Conquest Mo Money, Classic Empire.
Irish War cries in front as they come to the final 16th. Battalion Runner's not going with him. Then comes Cloud Computing down to the line. Irish War Cry has won the Wood Memorial.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Hello again, everyone. Good morning and rise and shine. The Equine Forum is on the air here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four, Pope Jude, we are with you in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios and want to welcome everybody joining us throughout North America on Sirius 219, XM 206, all of you tuning in on our affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, Arkansas, and throughout the United States, and of course tuning in worldwide with our live streaming on our website at horseracingradio.net. Happy to have you with us and want to begin by wishing all of the dads throughout HRN Nation a very happy Father's Day weekend and hope you get a chance to spend a little time with your kids and who knows, maybe even doing it at the racetrack this weekend. That wouldn't be so bad either. JT, good morning and happy Father's Day to you, pal.
Good morning and thank you. Father's Day, always fun. Get to hear from all the kids.
That's always good.
Hopefully.
You do hear from your children a lot, though.
Yes, yes. My daughters, of course, stay in touch on a regular basis. My son, being a son, kind of, you know, does his own thing a lot, but he checks in occasionally, and we always have a good time. So, yeah, I'm very fortunate. My kids are great, and not just because they're my kids, but they have all become top-class citizens, and everything's cool.
You are going to spend your Father's Day weekend at the racetrack because you and I are heading. Yeah, big shocker there. You and I are heading about an hour westward later today. We're going to head over to Churchill Downs for a Downs After Dark program and our coverage of the Grade 1 Win in Your In Stephen Foster. Also the Grade 2 Fleur de Lis, which is a Win in Your In for the Distaff Division. You're going to hear all that coverage tonight beginning at 8 o'clock Eastern time. So make sure you're tuned in. Should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a great evening of racing at Churchill Downs. A lot of nice horses running, some very competitive races. We're going to get to see the fourth best horse in the world, Gunrunner. Looks very tough. And very nice. I got to be there Sunday, too.
Yeah.
One of Town and Country's horses is running, so it'll be
a full weekend.
A quick turnaround, yes. And I was there Thursday night with the crew from Bullet Bourbon, and we had a profitable evening and a good time. So it's been a big racing week.
The weather is supposed to be spectacular tonight, so we should have a fast track, firm turf course for all the races. We're going to see Gunrunner, as you mentioned. He'll be the heavy favorite in the Stephen Foster. It's a field of 8. Post time for the Foster tonight is 9:43 Eastern, and maybe the biggest challenger is the Ian Wilkes-trained Birdsong, who comes out of that big win in the Ali Sheba at Churchill Downs in his most recent outing. Ian Wilkes is going to join us in just a little bit here on the Equine Forum, and he's going to talk about Birdstone. Also going to talk about the return of McCracken, our number one selection in the Churchill Downs Triple Crown Fantasy League. Didn't do us a whole heck of a lot of good.
Well, he was good for a while. He was good for a while.
We needed help. He looked like our LeBron James, and then after that, we had nobody with him.
Yeah, well, it's tough because we drafted first, and then we didn't get another pick till 16 or whatever. But we actually had a couple of horses win preps, and we were hanging in there, but folded like a lawn chair at the end of the season.
So. I'm excited to see McCracken and how he returns. He's going to go in the Matt Wynn, which is race number 5. That's a mile and a 16th on the main track, and he's 4-5 on the morning line. He, on class and on ability, he really does tower over this field. We'll see how he returns, and maybe a big night for Ian Wilkes, who has several starters in the stakes races.
Yeah, well, you know, McCracken, he doesn't really need much introduction. He's a good horse, and seems like he's training nicely for this. But there's a couple of interesting horses in there. Excitations, who has a great name. He's by Into Mischief, and he's really coming into his own for Al Stahl. He ran in the Pat Day Mile and didn't run well, but it was on an off track that I don't think he liked. I think he's an interesting horse. And then Aquamarine. How often do you see somebody move a horse up off of Bob Baffert?
Very rarely.
Very rarely, yeah. If at all. And the coach has done that with Aquamarine. His last two races have been excellent since Dwayne Lucas took over training. And he ran super in the Chick Lang, and he's been breezing good, and he's an interesting horse. So it's not going to be, you know, a walk in the park for McCracken. He's not running against a bunch of cucarachas. He's got a couple horses he has to run to beat.
Yeah, and then we have the Fleur de Lis, which is the race preceding the Stephen Foster, race number 7, post time for the Fleur de Lis, 9:09 Eastern. Forever Unbridled is going to be a heavy favorite in there. And this kind of seems like a theme throughout the night, and you're going to hear that on our coverage later today. There are several heavy favorites in, well, just about every race has a huge favorite that the others are just going to have to try to upset. And Forever Unbridled coming back to the races, having not started since the Breeders' Cup Distaff in November. We'll see her 2017 debut. And again, on paper, she towers over this field.
I don't know about that.
No, really? I didn't see anybody that was even in her league.
I'm really surprised. You don't like Big World?
No, I didn't think she was in the same class as... I like her. I don't think she's in the same class as Forever Unbridled.
Well, she's a grade one winner now. She's won 4 races in a row. I mean, and Forever Unbridled has to run a mile and an eighth off a layoff with a bunch of weight on her. I don't know. I'm not saying she doesn't have a chance, because she's certainly a very good filly, but I'm not jumping up and down at the prospect of her winning that race.
You know, Anthony and Christina on Express Bet Radio had a poll question yesterday, and they asked which of the favorites, the heavy favorites that we're talking about, are most vulnerable on Foster night. So maybe Forever Unbridled for you, you think?
Yeah, quite possibly.
Yeah.
I mean, I think she's got a really tough task coming off a layoff, running a mile and an eighth, and she's got some difficult competition. I think Big World looks good. Carumba has run second to her a couple times, and she's a very nice filly. Shug that did a good job, and she really had no chance in the last race against Terra Promesa. She, you know, Terra Promesa just ran off the television screen, so she kept to her task, though. I think she's tough. I think Gunrunner is going to win, so especially since the track's going to be fast.
Well, that ties right into our poll question this morning. You can weigh in on our Twitter feed, at HRRN. If you're not following us, go ahead and do that, and then go ahead and vote on our poll question this morning. You can also do it on Facebook, Horse Racing Radio Network. And here's the way it works. We're going to give you a kind of a prop bet. You can take, in the Stephen Foster tonight, you can take Gunrunner, or you can take the field. You have one bet to make. You can make it on Gunrunner or the field, which means you get all 7 contenders trying to knock off Gunrunner. So those are your choices. We want to know who you're taking. Is it Gunrunner or the field? And you can do that now at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. All right, so in terms of the guest lineup over the next 2 hours, it's going to be an extremely busy show for you. We're going to cover an awful lot of ground. Marty McGee from the Daily Racing Forum is going to be with us in 4 or 5 minutes from right now, right after our first commercial break. Marty covers racing throughout the year, and he is on top of it when it comes to the Kentucky racing scene. So looking forward to talking to Marty and catching up about the Stephen Foster and that entire program tonight. We told you Ian Wilkes has several horses going to the post tonight. Well, he will join us at 8:33 Eastern time. And then Gary Falter from OwnerView. Of course, the OwnerView Conference taking place in Del Mar this year, tying into the Breeders' Cup. Gary Falter will be with us at 8:49 Eastern. They had a big announcement yesterday. I'm not going to steal his thunder, but stay tuned for that one. I think you're going to enjoy what Gary has to say. Bongo Bob, Bob Feld, Jude's brother. Yeah, he's going to be with us in studio at 9 o'clock as they get ready to make a trip to Royal Ascot again with Miss Temple City and her 2017 debut. So we're looking forward to that visit. We'll talk a little Ascot with Bob. And then at the end of the show, Mike Nyman from Gulfstream will talk about the huge, huge mandatory payout into the Rainbow Six, which comes up later today. He'll talk about their Friday night programs, and he will look ahead to next weekend's, or 2 weekends from now, the Summit of Speed coming up that first weekend in July at Gulfstream Park. So awful lot of things to get to. We're going to kick it all off next with Marty McGee right here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, can you explain how the claims process works? Knock on wood, I haven't experienced a claim recently and hope I never will, but what happens?
Well, Mike, after we are notified by the insured of an accident or event, we will submit a claim report to the company, giving basic details of the claim. A claims representative will then contact the insured to walk them through the claim settlement process. Most claims are settled promptly, efficiently, and to the complete satisfaction of the insured.
Well, that sounds fair.
Basically, the insured is buying an insurance policy, which is a promise to pay in the event of a covered claim. It also provides peace of mind absent of a claim. That's the way it works.
Thanks, Joe. For all your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. You gotta know Joe.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Anthony Stabile and Jude Feld picking winners.
10 to choose from, Pontiff, a wide open card. Who's the Naira Betts best bet?
Well, I don't know who you were going to pick, but I'm going to go to the eighth race and I'm going to take Antino.
I love it.
Here comes Antino up the rail to win the Long Jean Just a Game.
The Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts. Every Friday, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern on Sirius 219, XM 206, and streaming live at horseracingradio.net.
This is Christophe Clément. You are listening to the Horse Racing Video Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
They hit the top of the stretch and Gunrunner turns for home in front. Opens up a length and a half. Breaking Lucky pops outside for the stretch drive. Breaking Lucky's putting in a bid now. Opportunity is third on the outside. Shaman Ghost is fourth. One furlong to go. And the gritty Gunrunner is digging down and fending off Breaking Lucky. He's pulling away late now. Gunrunner by two. Gunrunner by three. Gunrunner's going to get his grade one, winning the Clark by three lengths on the wire. Breaking Lucky was second, Shaman Ghost was third, and Opportunity was fourth.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on HRRN. Mike Penna, Jude Feld in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. That was Travis Stone with the call of the Clark Handicap at Churchill in November. Gunrunner, much the best that day. If he can win the Stephen Foster tonight, and as we told you, he is 4-5 on the morning line, going to be a prohibitive favorite. He would join No Marker, St. Liam, and Blame as horses to win the Clark and the Stephen Foster. Well, we'll see if he can pull it off. Our coverage begins 8 o'clock Eastern time, and you can visit horseracingradio.net to listen worldwide and to see all of the affiliates and SiriusXM channel information. Marty McGee is with us now from Churchill Downs, and Marty with the Daily Racing Form, few people better at covering racing, especially here in the state of Kentucky, than Marty. And Marty, good morning, my friend. Welcome to the show.
Mike and Jude, how are you guys doing this morning?
Really good. You know, I was thinking your dad would have loved this show with you starting out and my brother at 9 o'clock, huh?
Yeah, he would have. Poor guy.
Yeah, well, Marty, happy Father's Day to you, my friend. And
thank you.
Yeah, happy to have you on board this morning. Gunrunner, you know, we threw out a poll question this morning that people can vote on our Twitter feed at HRN. And I said, all right, we're going to make it a prop bet. You can take Gunrunner or you can have the field. Who are you going to take?
Well, I mean, since Gunrunner's going to be about 2-5 or 3-5, I think I have to take him. You know, this looks like a they're having the single six and the pick five and the pick four and all that tonight, guys. And it looks pretty chalky to me. So I'm going to have to take a stand and bite the bullet and use some chalk and try and branch out a little bit in some of these more wide open races.
Yeah, it really is kind of a strange card. Looks like the last race is probably the regret is probably the most wide open race, huh?
Oh, yeah, that and the Wise Dan. I mean, you're starting off the pick five with McCracken and the Matt Wynn in race five. I think that goes a little bit before 8 o'clock, right before you guys go on the air. And then you have the Wise Dan, which is wide open, I think. I do like the horse a lot in there. And then you've got Forever Unbridled making her return to the races, which was somewhat surprising given what Dallas Stewart had told all of us in the weeks leading up to this. Then you have the Foster, and then you have the way wide open regret.
Yeah, the regret is a bit of a head scratcher. You can go a whole bunch of different directions in there. Marty, let's start with the Matt Wynn. You mentioned McCracken. He'll be another prohibitive favorite, 4-5 on the morning line. Is it McCracken and everybody else, or is there a chance that we see somebody else jump up and upset the apple cart?
I think he's going to win, Mike. I mean, Aquamarine provides a lot of speed in there, stretching out from three-quarter races. And there's some other horses in there with some gas, and they're really not proven. This is basically a two other than. And McCracken's just, you know, he wants to get back with the big boys. And I know that Ian's real confident that he's going to get the right kind of ride from Brian and the right kind of trip, and the horses recovered nicely from that little setback he had from the Kentucky Derby when he was injured at the start. And, you know, it's kind of, it would have presented a really kind of unusual scenario if the horse had won. I mean, I know he got beat 13 lengths, but if he had won, he would not have been able to run the Preakness. That's how badly that left high and ankle was punctured. But since then, he's come along nicely, and you know, he really does seem like the class of the race. And if you go back to some of his races here at Churchill and the Sam Davis, there was a reason he was one of the early favorites for the Derby. And I think we'll see a return to form. I'm not stepping out on a limb here by any means, but I think we see him get back in the winner's circle tonight.
Yeah, that beating of Taprit in the Sam Davis looks pretty nice on the page. And then, you know, he's been working good. We're going to have Ian on in a little while to talk about him. But, you know, Mike and I liked him all along. He was our pick in the press box draft, and he just had a little bit of tough luck towards the end of the season, right when you don't need tough luck, you know. But
Al Stahl really likes his horse in there because he's probably going to trip out too, Jude, behind the speed. I mean, he might actually get the jump on McCracken, and he's a pretty nice colt excitations.
Yeah, I don't think he liked the wet last time.
No, not at all. So, you know, you can kind of put a red line through that, and you kind of make it a cold 2-1 in here, I think.
Well, the Matt Wynn is going to be followed by the Grade 2 Wise Dan, purse of 200,000, mile and a 16th on a turf course that should be plenty firm tonight. Marty, you said you kind of like somebody in this race. Who is it?
I really like your man Ignacio Carias in there with Casa Key. I mean, this horse has taken on some real bears over the last year or so. You know, he won the Arlington Handicap last July, then he was barely missed in the Arlington Million, and since then he's taken on some of the best. And his effort in the Turf Classic in the Woodford on Derby Day was sneaky good. He closed late. These other horses are kind of Grade 3 types. I think he's a little bit better. You're going to get a decent price in him. I've got a lot of confidence in Jimmy Graham's going to give him the right kind of trip. He's going to be my main punch in all the multis.
Good to know. I like him too.
Yeah, 6-1 on the morning line, and we'll see if Nacho can pull off the victory. And you said James Graham, one of the more underrated riders in the sport today, in my opinion. The Fleur de Lis, we talked about Forever Unbridled, 4-5 on the morning line, one of those horses that's going to be a huge favorite tonight. But, Marty, you said earlier this goes in stark contrast to what Dallas was telling everybody earlier leading up to this race. What's that mean?
Well, he had indicated by text to me by telling Churchill Publicity that he intended to bring Forever Unbridled back in the Chicago Handicap a week from today. It would have been it's a 7/8 race, grade three. Seemed like maybe a more logical comeback for her to just kind of get her going. She would have had to run against Finley's Lucky Charm in there, which might have been tough. But anyway, when the entries came out on Wednesday, early Wednesday afternoon, she's number one in the seventh race. So I immediately called Dallas and said, what's the deal? And he said, well, you know, it's good to talk about things, but when it comes down to brass tacks, you know, here we are. We thought this was maybe the better spot, and he has her ready. You know, she'd worked every Saturday since May 13th, so that's five works she's had up to this. And, you know, there are no beholders or songbird in here. There are you do have a grade one winner in Big World, but, you know, Jude, there's a grade one, and then there's a grade one.
Right,
you know,
right.
So,
well, when you look at everybody she's run against, besides Beholder and Songbird, and you see Cavorting,
Carolina, all of them.
Yeah, Carolina. I mean, that they're just really, really good. I mean, she certainly is the class of the race by far.
I mean, she might be vulnerable in here because it's been, almost 6 months or more than 6 months since she's run. And, you know, it's not hard to envision Dallas saying afterward, well, you know, this is horse racing. She needed a race.
Right.
But on paper, she looks like the class. If I had to jump out and try and beat her, which I might, I guess I might go with Big World to run big again. I know that Amos was very anxious whether or not Forever Unbridled was going to be in there. And you know, he was kind of licking his chops thinking he'd be the horse in there to beat again. But, you know, things kind of changed when the entries were made on Wednesday.
Well, she's so hot right now. Four wins in a row. Her last race was great. She's got a perfect style. Florent Giroux can do anything he wants with her. He can take her to the lead. He can come from off the pace.
There's speed outside of her, dude, with apology not accepted.
Yeah.
And she's kind of an interesting story. You know, they paid a whole bunch for her after she won her debut, her five-year-old debut, by the way. Last March at Gulfstream, they paid a bunch for when Gary Barber jumped in. So, but she ran big in her last race, but she's going to really get tested for class in here. And I think how it's going to unfold is she will go ahead and press things, and that'll give Rosario, you know, the kind of trip he's looking for with a lot of pace unfolding up in front of him.
Talking with the Daily Racing Forum's Marty McGee here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Marty, the Fleur de Lis, a win in your in for the Distaff division. The Foster, a win in your in for the Classic division. And we talked about it earlier. You said that if you had your choice, Gunrunner obviously would be your pick, if you could take Gunrunner or the field, because he is going to be a huge favorite. And on paper, looks like a standout. So let me go the other direction, because favorites in the Foster have only won at a 20% rate, which is a little bit low. They're 7-35 over the first 35 runnings. If you were going to pick an upsetter, who might it be?
I guess it would be Honorable Duty, only if you have the kind of pace whereby it sets up for somebody who can close. I think that Florent Giroux and Steve Asmussen are glad that Gunrunner drew outside of Birdsong. I mean, Le Perroux on Birdsong has no other choice, you would think, other than to send this horse on the rail. And that's going to allow Florent to do what he wants just sitting outside of him. So, you know, you guys opening this segment, you replayed the Clark from last year. Well, Noble Bird was supposed to be putting all kinds of pressure on Gunrunner in that race. Gunrunner broke from the rail, but Noble Bird didn't break. So the race really unfolded in a different way than we thought. And as it turns out, the Clark ended up being the breakout race for Gunrunner because he ran huge there. Steve laid him up for a little bit. He ran great in the Razorback, and then he ran great to be second behind Arrogate. So his last three races have just been absolutely fabulous. So if he runs back to those, and Steve is confident that he will, I think he'll win. And then if he goes ahead and puts away Birdsong, Honorable Duty, I think, is one to come on and make it a cold 3-4.
You know, Gunrunner, he's just such a beautiful horse. And our colleague Jenny Reese, she was all over this horse on the Triple Crown Trail. That's all she wrote about for about 6 months, Gunrunner this and Gunrunner that. But he's really shown that she knew what she was talking about. He's come into his own recently, and he just seems so powerful to me.
He does, and he's got a great running style. You know, his wins in both the Clark and Razorback and in the Dubai World Cup, he was on the lead every time. But I don't think he has to have that. And if you just look at the way he's progressed over the 18 months or so that he's been active, Jude, he's just really come into his own. I mean, he's knocked out $4.3 million, for gosh sakes, in 14 starts. So that kind of speaks for itself.
Well, Marty, we have just about a minute left before we have to get to our next break. So I kind of cut you short on the most wide open race of the evening, the Grade 3 Regret. But how do you see that one?
I think Sweeping Patty and Proctor's Ledge, both out of the tough Edgewood on the Oaks undercard, they're the horses to beat. But I'm also going to be relying heavily on my man Nacho with Fizzy Friday, who ran against Boys here in an open allowance late last month and ran a sneaky good race when not getting away too well. So those will be my main three horses, the 2, 4, and 10.
All right, Marty McGee with the Daily Racing Form here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Like all of our guests who appear on the show, he's going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can embrace your passion and wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. Marty, appreciate it, my friend, and good luck tonight. We'll look forward to seeing you over there later on.
Always, fellas. Appreciate it.
All right, Marty McGee with us here on HRRN. It is time now for your Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you every single Saturday at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington, and then we'll come back and visit with trainer Ian Wilkes. That's all ahead right here on HRN.
On September 27, 1947, over a distance of 1¼ miles out of the chute at the top of Belmont Park's backstretch, the long-awaited match race between Warren Wright's Armed and the King Ranch's Assault was about to unfold before an enormous throng on hand at the Grand Lady of Long Island as Belmont was off the moniker. This was anticipated, expected, and billed to be, rightly so, I might add, a classic confrontation of the turf. The two owners, Warren Wright and Robert Kleberg, agreed that the $100,000 prize to go to the eventual victor would be given to charity, and it was a non-betting race. At Belmont, there was a bell which lifted its melancholy clang over the walking ring just before the horses for each race were to be filed out for the post-parade. And just before this match race, it seemed to those in attendance to sound a sadder note than was usually the case. It was as a distant peal that may well have been of the self-same import of which Hemingway wrote, quote, "Ask not for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee." A chill, brittle wind howled in from the northeast, bringing the starkness of the foreboding North Atlantic down across the 1,000 miles of ocean from the barren Arctic Circle. One of the horses responded to its sweep against his legs and through his mane and tail as he danced impatiently during the long parade to post for the start in the remote corner of Belmont's back stretch. That self-same wind brought no solace to the other combatant, for he was to run this race on courage alone to fulfill a promise that had been made and was herein to be honored. He was not the same marvelous thoroughbred he had been during a brilliant career on the racetrack. He was somewhat lame and sore, each step bringing a twinge of pain. His heart and mind told him of the task at hand, but his body throbbed in protest. Armed, the great handicapped champion older horse, and Assault, the 1946 Triple Crown winner, went to the starting gate. Somehow in the gate, Armed nicked himself on one quarter and left a scratch that scattered blood and a spray on his legs as he ran, but he broke in front as the starter sent them on their way. As the two champions loped down the long, long run to the far turn, it was Armed by 4 open lengths, with still half a mile to run. Assault, under the highly capable, renowned Hetty Eddie Arcaro, reached back for an attempt at one of those patented late charges, and through the next 2 furlongs he cut the gap to his rival to but a single length by the time they reached the quarter pole. As they straightened away for the final 2-furlong run to the wire, it appeared to the roaring throng that Assault had put dead even with Armed. That was to be the last hurrah for the Clubfoot Comet, the great King Ranch standard-bearer. Assault had given it everything he had, but on this day, it was not enough. Arcaro, recognizing a lost cause, eased his mount up in the final 16th and armed cruise home a winner by 8 open lengths in a final time of 2:02.4. Assault, the club-footed darling of the racing public, had been given it his all, but had for the last time faced a relentless challenge of the racetrack. After the race, while cooling out on the backstretches, trainer Max Hirsch looked at the game champion and with a wistful look in his eyes said, quote, "There's never been another horse like him." An observer who had taken in that dramatic scene turned while leaving to glance back for one final look at Assault, who was standing with his big soft eyes blinking in the autumn twilight, and softly and fondly said, "So long, champ." It was indeed a great moment in thoroughbred racing.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
You know, it was right about 2 years ago at this time that a new restaurant opened on Main Street, and it's quickly become a favorite for anybody that wants the best steaks and the best seafood. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood. They were just named one of the best steakhouses in the nation by TastingTable.com, a very big national website. Why don't you give them a visit? It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood on Main Street. TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor. A six-time stakes winner, including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
Fans, come on out to Santa Anita on Saturday for great racing and much more. Three-year-old fillies take center stage in a couple of Grade 2 $200,000 stakes, the Honeymoon at a mile and one-eighth on grass, and the Summertime Oaks at a mile and a sixteenth on the main track. And attention all handicappers, sign up now for our $500 Summer Challenge closing weekend. Visit SantaAnita.com for details. Admission gates open Saturday at 11 a.m. First live race post time is at 1 o'clock. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Power.
But Tapazar is just playing too good today. And it's going to be Tapazar and Garrett Gomez coming home with his ears pricked to win the Sham Stakes.
Passion.
And a big performance from Tapazar and Cory Nakatani as they romp in the San Fernando.
Performance.
And Tapazar, a sterling performance today. Tapazar and Cory Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Gainsway stallion Tapazar is a Grade 1 winning miler by leading sire Tappet from the family of champion Untappable, and is Tappet's only Grade 1 winning miler at stud. Tapazar retired sound with more than $972,000 in earnings following a career in which he broke his maiden by 10 and a half lengths at Churchill Downs at 2, went wire to wire to win the Grade 3 Sham Stakes at 3, and was a runaway winner of the Grade 2 San Fernando and Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at 4.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
This is Carlos Martin, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Birdsong rolls to the top of the stretch.
But American Freedom is coming on, and Honorable Duty is too. Second and third off the turn. December 7 is now fourth. Top of the stretch for Birdsong. Birdsong on a two-length lead and 3/16 to go. Honorable Duty trying to get by from second. Two lengths to make up and one furlong to do it. American Freedom is laboring on the outside in third. International Star slipping through toward the inside fourth. Final 16th. Still Birdsong in front. Honorable Duty's been trying to get by the entire length of the stretch, but Birdsong goes coast to coast in the Ali Sheba. Wins a length and a quarter. Honorable Duty was second, International Star was third, and American Freedom checks in fourth.
Mike Penna, Jude Feld, back with you on the Equine Forum on HRRN. Travis Stone with the call of the Grade 2 Ali Sheba. That was at Churchill back on May 5th, and Birdsong, much the best that day. We're going to see if he can pull off a huge upset as he takes on Gunrunner in tonight's Grade 1 Stephen Foster. Don't forget all of our coverage beginning 8 o'clock Eastern time here on the network. Jude and I will be live from Churchill, 8 to 10 Eastern. You can tune in on Sirius Channel 108 and online at horseracingradio.net. And, of course, on our affiliates across the country, visit horseracingradio.net to see a complete listing. Ian Wilkes is going to be a busy man. He will saddle Birdsong. He will saddle several other contenders. I can actually say that. Contenders on the program. And we're going to talk to Ian momentarily. But first, we want to remind you that on Sunday, July 2nd, you can watch, wager, and win on the 158th running of the Queen's Plate, the first jewel in Canada's Triple Crown of Thoroughbred Racing, and the longest continuously run stakes in North America. Woodbine will guarantee the early pick four pool at $150,000 and the late pick four pool at $300,000. On plate day, Woodbine will also be offering 20-cent bet minimums on all Triactor, Superfecta, pick three, and pick four pools. And be sure to try your luck on the special Queen's Plate Thoroughbred pick five, only offered on plate day. That's $600,000 in guaranteed pick four and pick five pools that you can share in. For more information, just visit queensplate.com. Well, Ian is going to saddle several horses, and he'll have five in the stakes. He'll have a total of eight runners on the program tonight. Very, very busy night, so we appreciate him taking a few minutes this morning. Ian, as always, thank you, my friend.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, welcome to the program, and a happy Father's Day weekend.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, and likewise, happy Father's Day.
I guess you'll be spending it at the racetrack.
That's a sure bet.
Best bet of the day, right there.
Well, look, I talk about those eight horses, and I mentioned, you know, five in the stakes. Your first one will be McCracken, who returns after that really rough trip in the Kentucky Derby. He goes in the Matt Wynn, which is race number five. Talk to us about the past several weeks for McCracken and the way he's come back from that trip in the Derby.
Yeah, it's been a fun ride, adventurous ride. But, you know, we come out of it with a good cut on his hind leg. It's just about healed up, but it's good. Won't affect him tonight. And the horse has trained well coming into this. I'm very pleased with him. He just needs now to get back into a racing routine, you know, just race, you know, because he's been training too much. You know, he needs to get on a racing program, and that'll help him more than anything.
You have a long-term schedule mapped out?
You know, I still think he's one of the best three-year-olds, and I need to bite my lip and just prove it, you know, on the racetrack, you know, and so this, I'm going to get this race first, and you know, these are always the hardest ones, you know, when you're expected to win and you think you'll win, these are always the hardest ones.
Yeah, it's nice to get it out of the way early, huh?
Yeah.
you can relax the rest of the card.
or I'll be kicked off of the card.
Ian, we had a chance to visit a couple of times before the Kentucky Derby, and you were so confident in McCracken. He was doing everything right. He checked all the boxes. He was in great position as they made their way into that far turn, and then things just kind of fell apart, and we talked about the rough trip. We talked about the cut that he sustained. This just wasn't his day. How disappointing was that for you, and how long did it take you to get past it?
Yeah, it was. It's very disappointing. You know, when you have a horse like this, and you really power, you really trust the horse, and you think he's that good. The biggest thing for me is I felt like I let a lot of people down, you know, because we didn't win the race, and I know it's horse racing, I understand that, but it's still that's a hard feeling to get across, you know, because the horse was doing sensational coming in, very happy with him, for all his supporters, that was the biggest thing is just feeling there was a letdown, but. You know, you have to go on and look at it as racing. That's part of the game. I guess it wasn't meant to be. But we got the second half of the year. We got to gear up for and just have a good second half.
Yeah, you know, the three-year-old championship is still up for grabs. I don't think anybody's cut and dry, and it could be him by the end of the year.
Well, that's it. You know, it's set up for someone to take it, you know, take the bull by the horns here and take it away because it's a very evenly bunched three-year-old crop at the moment.
Yeah, and his win over Tappert in the Sam F. Davis is looking pretty good at this moment.
Yeah. It makes that form look good. It's funny how one race can change everyone's opinion of something, then it's back as what I mean by that, you know, we run in the Sam Davis, we win, like it, and Tappert wins the Tampa Bay Derby. Wow. Then we go to the Bluegrass. This is the toughest race in the prep. And then all of a sudden, wow, it was a bad race, you know. And now all of a sudden, maybe wasn't a bad race, you know, after Tappert wins the Belmont. It's a fickle business.
Yeah, very fickle business. Ian Wilkes with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Ian, after the Matt win, you'll come back in the next race, the Grade 2 Wise Dan, with a couple of entrants, Thatcher Street and Bondurant. Talk to me about those two.
Wow, what a good race this is. You know, Thatcher Street, you know, he's a six-year-old. He's so consistent. We've had a nice run with Pluvin. He beats us. We beat him. He beats us. I think he may be up on me a little about our score. He may be up on me a little bit there, but I'll have to get even with him. It's with them two, those two horses, Pluvin and Thatcher Street. It's whoever gets the trip beats each other, you know, and that's the important thing is getting the right trip and the position early in the race with them two. And Bondurant, I just think you haven't seen the best of this horse. This horse worked unbelievably well the other day coming into this race. I haven't seen him work as good as this. So I think he's starting to round back into some nice form, get back to that race when he runs second to Heart in Florida. So if he runs to that race, he's going to be right in the thick of it too.
Yeah, he never runs a bad race at Churchill. He's run three times as a win in 2 seconds. He seems to like it.
Yeah, and Thatcher, you know, as well, loves Churchill.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're going to have your hands full in the next two races, the Fleur-de-Lis and the Stephen Foster, because you're going to have to, I guess, do your best Alan Jerkins impersonation and try to knock off a couple of the giants in here. You send out Walkabout in the Fleur-de-Lis, taking on heavy favorite Forever Unbridled, and then Birdsong, who we heard the clip of earlier, taking on Gunrunner in the Stephen Foster. Let's look at those two races. Start with Walkabout.
Yeah, Walkabout, she's a fun filly. You know, she's a temperamental. She'll run her race. She'll drop back. I don't know whether it'll be 5 lengths. I don't know whether it'll be 10 lengths or it could be 15 like last time. But she'll be where she wants to be. Brian will ask her to go at the half mile and she won't go. And then she'll go when she's ready. You know, that's her. And the good thing is, you notice I said he asks her, he doesn't tell her, you know, and that's the good thing about her. She's a fun filly to be around, and I think she's getting into a nice routine. But boy, strong, good horses in there. Unbridled Forever, look at her resume, you know, so that's a tremendous there. But then you come to the Stephen Foster, wow, the race would look better without Gunrunner. That would be good. I guess they didn't get my wish list, you know. No Gunrunner.
Write him out.
What's the key to pulling off the upset with Birdsong?
Sorry, Mike, say that again.
What's the key? If you're going to pull off the upset, what's the key for Birdsong to be able to do that?
Outrun Gunrunner. You know, he's, you know, where you know, we got speed. He's a naturally, such a high cruising speed. Well, you know, that's the one good thing about Birdsong. He's got a very high cruising speed, and he's going to put himself in a position. I tried once to take this horse back and change his style, and he didn't like it. And that was in the race in the King's Bishop, and he showed me then his best races is when he gets into a nice rhythm. It doesn't mean he has to lead, but he's going to be close. And if someone really took him on and wanted to, they're going to hurt themselves because it may hurt us all. But if they really take us on, it's going to set up for someone to close.
And we're going to find out. All the questions will be answered later tonight. Again, our coverage, 8 to 10 Eastern Time. And make sure you check out our website for all the information. Sirius 108 on the air in Louisville and affiliates across the country and worldwide at horseracingradio.net. Ian, we appreciate it, my friend. Good luck tonight. We'll look forward to seeing you over there and hopefully seeing you in the winner's circle a few times tonight.
Thanks, mate. Appreciate it.
All right. Ian Wilkes, like all of our guests, going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Embrace your passion and wear what you love. You can do that at EmbraceTheRace.com. God, always so much fun to catch up with Ian, isn't it?
Yeah, he's such a great guy. He always seems so relaxed, right?
He's got
a whole bunch of horses in. He's got the big horse coming back, and you'd never know it wasn't just like a Tuesday afternoon. We're out there talking to him on the racetrack.
Yeah, you know? A class act, great ambassador for racing, and we wish him all the best coming up later tonight. All right, we're going to get to another break. When we come back, going to be joined by Gary Falter from OwnerView. A big announcement coming out yesterday regarding this year's conference. You won't want to miss it. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the 2017 Breeders' Cup.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor. A six-time stakes winner, including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan.
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you gotta be more than fast.
More than fast.
You gotta be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stephan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com. Arguably North America's hottest first crop weanling sire in 2016, Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince is set to once again ignite the marketplace with his first crop yearlings this sales season. A brilliantly talented son of leading sire Pioneer of the Nile, Cairo Prince is passing on the extraordinary good looks that made him the most expensive member of his own sire's initial sales crop. And he possesses the brilliance to give his progeny every chance for major success on the racetrack. Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince, a stallion star in the making. Think about it.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
This is Eddie Delahousie. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Yeah.
Well, you want to circle your calendar now for the Owner View Conference, which is coming up in Del Mar. That ties into the Breeders' Cup again this year. They took that approach last year, and it worked out really, really well. What a great conference. And I have the privilege of being part of this year's conference as a moderator on one of the panels. I've done that multiple times, and I can tell you, if you're looking to get into this business, or if you're already in the business as an owner and you want to maybe try to pick up on a few tips that are going to help you along the way, you can't do better than the Thoroughbred Owner Conference. And to join us now and tell us all about it, that's Gary Falter from Owner View. Gary, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, happy to have you on board this morning. And some big news coming out yesterday. I got a press release, and it was all over social media. Big news about this year's conference. Go ahead.
Yeah, this year we've arranged with Jeff Fager, the executive director of 60 Minutes and CBS News, to be our keynote speaker this year. And we're very excited about that, having Jeff on board as our keynote speaker. You know, each year we've had just top people as our keynote speaker. We, you know, started off with Gary Player in 2014, and then Jim Rome and Eddie Olchek last year, and Jeff Fager. Again, we're just very pleased and excited to have Jeff on board as our keynote speaker this year.
What a name dropper you are.
Those are some great names to be able to drop.
When we first started planning this conference, you know, we wanted it to be special. We wanted all aspects of the conference to be worth the while of the owners from all over the country to attend, and not just with the keynote speaker, but with all of our different panel topics and all the different presenters and panelists. So, you know, it just kind of falls in line with our original goal, was to make this a very worthwhile and a special few days for owners across the country to attend.
Not only is Jeff an award-winning executive producer of 60 Minutes, but he's also a racehorse owner. And Gary, he has an amazing story. He actually became interested in racing through his father, his name, Dr. Charles Fager. He was a Boston-based neurosurgeon. Tell me about the background here with Jeff.
Yeah, the trainer, John Nayrud, had some health issues, and Dr. Fager actually saved his life through surgery that he performed on Mr. Nayrud. And after the surgery, Mr. Nayrud named a horse after Dr. Fager, who turned out to be, you know, the great racehorse Dr. Fager, who was Horse of the Year and had many honors, champion sprinter, you know, leading sire. I mean, here's a horse named after a prominent neurosurgeon who really had no ties to horse racing other than that was his patient, Mr. Nayrud. And the horse went on to become probably one of the greatest racehorses of his era. He won 18 of 22 starts, was probably one of the first horses to make over $1 million back in the days when races like the Vosburgh and the Whitney and the Withers were $50,000 purses, unlike today where they're much higher than that. So, yeah, a great story. I'm sure Jeff will talk about that and elaborate about his experiences as a young man and a boy growing up and experiencing those races and his father also being a part of that. So, yeah, great storyline. Jeff is a horse owner. He has, I believe, 5 horses in training in Ireland and in New York. I believe Aidan O'Brien has his horses in Ireland, and Kieran McLaughlin trains for him in New York, I believe.
What a fantastic surgeon the real Dr. Fager was, too, because Mr. Nayrud lasted over 100 years.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so did a good job, obviously. But, the story was that Dr. Fager and his wife were having a dinner party, and then when Mr. Nayrud was brought into the hospital, you know, he did the surgery, and he had to stay, and he called his wife and said, "I can't make it to the dinner party if I leave. I'm afraid this patient won't make it." So he spent the better part of the night, with Mr. Nayrud to ensure that he would pull through.
Wow, great story. And Jeff's going to be a great keynote speaker, and that all takes place at the Thoroughbred Owner Conference October 30th to November 1st in Del Mar. And, Gary, that's right before the Breeders' Cup World Championships, which I know is by design. Tell people what they can expect when they register for the conference.
Well, when they register for the conference, as I said, you know, we come up with what we believe are very relevant and excellent topics for owners at all levels, whether you're new to the game or thinking about it, or owners that have been in the business for many years. In fact, the majority of our attendees are owners who have been into the business for many years, and we're happy and glad to have owners at all levels. But we have a great lineup of topics. We try to change them out every year. We've added a panel to talk about breeding to race. You know, what it takes to breed your own racehorses and have some confirmation and pedigree experts. We've got a panel just talking about the business of claiming. You know, we've hit on claiming in past conferences, and we've had attendees ask us, you know, can you talk about that in a little more detail? So we have a panel just dedicated to that. And we also have a panel titled The Influence of Women in Thoroughbred Racing, which I think will be a very interesting panel with just a variety of women from different walks of life in our industry just talking about their journey. So great panels, great topics. We have really good social events. We're told every year by our attendees at the social events were great, that they attended. They met a lot of people. A lot of networking takes place during these social events, so great friendships and business associations have been made through the different social events. So all of that, plus we have aligned ourselves with the Breeders' Cup. So on Monday evening, all of our guests will go to the Breeders' Cup Classic Draw and reception. Tuesday morning, all of our guests will be treated to the breakfast trackside marquee, which was really nice at Santa Anita last year, and we're looking forward to that at Del Mar. And then for those who register, while we still have tickets, and we still do have tickets for the Breeders' Cup, we have reserved grandstand seating as part of your registration for both Friday and Saturday racing.
How can you beat that? So you get to take in the conference, you get to meet some of the high-profile people that will be there, rub elbows, talk to them at the social events. They'll be very accessible. And then enjoy the Breeders' Cup World Championships, too. You can get more information by going to ownerview.com, and you can register right there on the website. We encourage you to go do it now. Also going to get a chance to meet some trainers and jockeys who will be in attendance at the conference, I believe. Right, Gary?
Yes, yes. We have a panel with trainers and jockeys just talking about that trainer-jockey relationship. We're going to invite a jocks agent to kind of talk about, you know, how the jocks agent plays into that. Last year, we had a trainer panel with the who's who of trainers in California, and we had a jockeys panel that was great. I mean, having Gary Stevens and Mike Smith sitting side by side on the panel just days before they hooked up, you know, in the Breeders' Cup races. So, we'll have trainers, owners from all over the country, jockeys, industry professionals. We have a panel, our very first panel, we have an accountant in Jen Shaw from Dean Dorton and Ford, and Shannon Arvin from Stoll Keenan, just talking about some of the nuts and bolts of ownership, you know, accounting and legal and insurance matters. So, you know, we take a deep dive into this. Our last panel is going to be a couple of veterinarians that are going to give a great presentation on, you know, various health issues with horses so that owners can ask questions about those, get handouts, and learn more about what the veterinarian role is with maintaining the health of their racehorses.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned the accounting and the legal presentation, because that isn't the sexiest of presentations there at the conference, and I've said that multiple times. I had the chance to moderate that panel a couple of years ago, Gary, and I had more people come up to me at the party afterwards and tell me how much they enjoyed that particular presentation, because it was things that they don't often think about, and it's aspects of owning thoroughbreds that you typically don't know. And they were able to learn quite a bit from that presentation. So that is a very valuable one, and I would definitely recommend keeping it.
Yeah, I agree with that. We had a lady that was a longtime owner come up to me after that panel at Gulfstream and said, I learned so much from that panel. I've been an owner for years and years, and I've got lots of notes from my accountant and my attorney to go back home with questions. Another panel we added was partnership syndicates and racing clubs. We want to have a panel to talk about, you know, what are some of the various avenues for co-ownership. And so we've got Anna Seitz, who's with All About the Girls Racing, on that panel. We got Gary Fenton with Little Red Feather Racing. Gary Palmisano with the Churchill Downs Racing Club. We've invited Gary to talk about, you know, how the racing clubs are doing and what kind of conversion rate they're seeing in people that are taking a step into ownership through these racing clubs and then moving on to the next level. And then we've got a couple more panelists that we'll invite on that panel. So I'm excited about that one, because I think that'll be very interesting for all owners to listen to.
Yeah, well, again, the conference coming up in Del Mar, October 30th to November 1st. You can register now, ownerview.com. And if you're looking for more information on all those panels and the keynote speaker, head over there right now. It's ownerview.com. Gary, as always, we appreciate it, my friend, and anything we can do along the way as we get closer to the conference, please let us know, and we'll look forward to catching up soon.
Well, I appreciate it, Mike, and looking forward to having you back as a moderator this year.
Yeah, should be fun. All right, yep. Gary Falter here on HRN, like all of our guests, receives a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. Good stuff. Going to be a fun conference, and tying it into the Breeders' Cup is brilliant.
Yeah, well, that's where everybody's going to be. All eyes on Del Mar, as they say.
Yeah, where the turf meets the surf. All right, it's a busy second half of the program. We're going to get to it next. We're back with hour number two right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Here's Cloud Computing going for the upset. Classic Empire digs in. Cloud Computing grows alongside. They come to the finish together. Noses apart. Cloud Computing has defeated Classic Empire and the Preakness.
IRAP with the lead. Practical Joke giving all he's got. IRAP 31-1. Wins the toy on the bluegrass with Julian Leperoux aboard.
Originating from our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Royal Moe and Gormley battling strongly. Gormley looming into the lead now. Gormley takes the lead, and Gormley wins the Santa Anita Derby.
Always Dreaming set down for the drive by John Velasquez, and he's moving away. State of Honor is up into second, an impressive edge. Canavera too little, too late. But inside the 16th pole, the 2017 Florida Derby to Todd Pletcher. And Always Dreaming, they won it by four in the end.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum. Barron and Pontiff, that's Penna and Feld, just cruising past the half-mile pole this morning here on the Equine Forum as we get you set for the second half of the show. Marty McGee, Ian Wilkes, and Gary Falter all with us in the first half. If you missed any portion of the show, any of those interviews, head back over to our website, horseracingradio.net, and check out the podcast of this show and all of our shows. You can do that at your leisure, horseracingradio.net and Horse Racing Radio Network on iTunes. JT, we don't have an official countdown to the Breeders' Cup because I don't have the minutes and the seconds that I like to typically throw in there, but I can tell you this. We are 138 days away from the Breeders' Cup World Championships, and the Win in Your In action continues later tonight at Churchill Downs.
Yeah, it's a great program that the Breeders' Cup has instituted, and we had Dora Delgado from the Breeders' Cup on last week on this show, and she talked about the Win in Your In races, and they've done a lot of things in a positive manner for the Breeders' Cup. That free entry into the Breeders' Cup is so important for people and generates a lot of interest all year long around the country and around the world.
And we'll have coverage of those Win in Your In races tonight. The Florida Lee, the Stephen Foster. We begin 8 o'clock Eastern time. Make sure you join us tonight. Sirius Channel 108 for those of you tuning in on Sirius XM. That's Sirius 108. We'll be on the air in Louisville locally, and you can check us out online at horseracingradio.net. So a lot of ways to access that coverage, and can't wait to bring it your way, all presented by our friends at Breeders' Cup. Well, second half of the show kicks off with, well, Jude's brother. That's Bob Feld, and the man behind the club racing. Used to be Bongo Bob, but I can't call him that anymore. Can I?
People still do, yeah.
it still works.
The Phasig Tipton guys all call me Bongo. It's just Bongo, not Bongo Bob, just Bongo. Lynch and
I'm Evan. Actually surprised Lynch. You're still here. I thought you might be across the pond.
I leave tomorrow. Tomorrow, Sunday, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I have a 2:25 flight out of Lexington Bluegrass Airport on the way to Charlotte to Heathrow.
Do you have your top hat and tails ready to go?
I ordered them. They charged me for them, so hopefully they're there. I use Oliver Brown. Most people use the Moss Brothers, and last year, of course, I procrastinated far enough where the cutoff had ended, and I found Oliver Brown does a great job, and so I went back to them this year.
Of course, people may not realize why you're heading over there, so let's go ahead and fill them in. You'll be heading to Royal Ascot to see your brilliant filly, Miss Temple City, go to the post yet again on Tuesday, right? It will be
correct.
Tuesday.
We just said yesterday morning, officially, we're going in the Queen Anne, the first race of the day and the very first day of racing, so it kicks off the entire week is that that race, so it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's good to get it over with.
Yeah, that's one that's, believe me.
Then you can party the whole rest of the time, right?
You know, in these situations, I always remember Adoration. She won the distaff at Santa Anita, and it was it wasn't maybe the first race, but it was the second race of the day. It was early in the day, and it was so nice to
I think it was the third, actually.
Was it? I don't know. Early in the day, though, and because sometimes you're in the last race or one of the later races, and it just takes forever to get down to the paddock, and it really kind of drags a day out, and you can't have that much fun because you're so excited and there's so much anticipation. So yeah, I remember draping those flowers over the rail inside Front Runner next to the Ammerman's table, and we could just have a really enjoyable afternoon, you know, and bask in the glory of a victory.
Yeah, and then we took those flowers back to your house and we draped them over the railing of your front porch. I'll never forget that. And took a picture of the Breeders' Cup flowers.
Yeah, it's really cool. I actually just sold that house. The escrow closed yesterday, officially yesterday, and that was one of my memories walking down the drive for the last time with the flowers hung over the porch.
Yeah, and you get the chance to head to Ascot with Miss Temple City for the third consecutive year.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Unreal.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, after last season, three grade ones, beating the boys twice, you know, you can't really top that. And, you know, I use the word greedy, but, you know, it's. I thought if we get one more season and you know, you feel a little greedy wanting one more season. We could have easily retired her and sold her, but, you know, she's just been a joy, and it's just been such a pleasure. And, you know, we all believe and we all think that five-year-olds have their best season. So last year we still had dreams of maybe her fifth year, you know, would be the year that she could really break out. So we'll see. I mean, she sure looks the part. She's definitely put on weight. I mean, she's a beast to look at. But you don't know until you run them. But she sure looks like she's sitting on a big five-year-old year.
There was a nice interview on Twitter this morning, Graham, talking about her half a mile work yesterday, I guess it was, and you know how happy he was, and he's still worried about the layoff, which always makes me laugh a little bit because he's a great layoff trainer, and I know she's fit. She's been ready to run for a couple of months, basically.
Yeah. So. No, he's a worrier, which a lot of the great trainers are worriers. I mean, they do dot the I's and cross the T's, and they don't miss a beat. So, you know, it's I get pleasure out of watching them fret and worry. It cracks me up. I mean, Graham is the best. I mean, he really is. And I mean, every detail, he's on it. So, you know, it was funny because I told him after we scratched the first time, I said, we really don't need a prep race, you know, and he just really wanted to have a prep race, which, you know, logically it makes sense to have a prep, but
When did you scratch the first time?
We scratched Derby Day.
Okay.
And I said, listen, we don't have to prep, you know, in my heart, and speaking for the club and most of the other partners who let me, you know, kind of state my opinion. But he really wanted to prep, and that's why he wanted to go to the Just Game. So, I'm sorry, the Bogey.
Yep.
But turns out, I said, listen, everything happens for a reason. I said, the reason we're here, the reason this filly's born, truly, in my heart, everything happens for a reason. And I, you know, her best numbers on paper last year were her comeback race in the Maker's Mark 46 miles. So, you know, she runs very well fresh. She broke her maiden first time out. I think she runs really well fresh. So I didn't think we needed a prep, and here we are without a prep. So we'll see.
Yeah, it just kind of turned out that way. You have worked with several trainers, not just Graham Motion. You've had several horses throughout the years. How does that work, that dynamic between owner and a trainer, when you're trying to discuss strategy and map out a plan? You don't want to step on the trainer's toes, but yet, you know, you own the horse. So how does that work?
Yeah, no, I went to the track right out of high school. My brother Jude here, of course, trained for 20 years in California, working for him for a long time. So, yeah, I know all the
He'll
ins
tell
and
you
outs.
About owners. Yeah. He'll share his thoughts on owners.
Yeah. I always feel like I'm a very good owner because I really let the trainer – to me, the bottom line and the last vote goes to the trainer. You have to. They are there with the horse every day, and that's where I don't interfere with a trainer's day-to-day thing. That's their thing. I don't interfere with jockeys, you know, who they pick, because, again, there's relationships with agents and jockeys, and it's not – I don't want to go over the top of Because I was there. I was on the backstretch for years. I know how it works. You have to work with your relationships. And a lot of times, a trainer will use an agent over the jockey who the agent has. If the agent picks up a new jock, they use that jock just because they have a great relationship with the agent. So, yeah, I leave all those things alone. But Graham and I have one of the best relationships ever. He's such a good guy and a smart guy and a logical guy. And I mean, he always responds. He always texts back. For a guy who's as busy as he is, you would never guess it. He comes across as a guy that's got like six horses in the barn as far as communication. And we just have a really good back and forth. And the nice thing is he respects our opinion. Doesn't always happen with owners. You can ask my brother. Sometimes these owners come up with these crazy ideas and, oh, hey, my brother-in-law's flying in this weekend. Can you find a race? It's like, well, no, that's not what we're doing. We're trying to, develop this horse into a great
We just ran 3 days ago.
Yeah.
Sometimes that doesn't matter either.
We have you get partners. It's like, hey, can we run this weekend? Well, no, probably not.
Yeah.
But, so we have just a great relationship, and again, it's a mutual respect, and we bounce ideas off each other and thoughts and come up with a really good game plan, I think. So
you hear that from Graham, too. Like, I've been lucky enough to, be at post-race celebrations at Keeneland when she won, and Graham always gives the Miss Temple City team full credit when it's due, when you guys come up with a crazy idea, and he embraces it.
We've taught him a couple of things. It's hilarious. I love kind of teasing him. I brought the story the other day when we were talking on the phone, because it was one of my favorite stories when she won the Maker's Mark 46 mile, and he really didn't want to run against the boys. And so we're in the champagne room having our drinks, watching the replay on a loop. And I said, Graham, by the way, when's the last time you ran against the boys? He said, I've never run against the boys. And I couldn't believe it. As an Englishman, you'd think, it's very common. It's very common over there. He just, he's got more of an American angle when it's the girls versus the boys. And so when it came to Shadwell Mile time again, he really didn't want to run against the boys. And, we did it again. So after that, that's when he started saying, these guys are crazy, but it's working out for us. But the other day we had a conversation, about 3 weeks ago, discussing which race we were going to run in. And he goes, I'm leaning towards the Queen Anne. And I said, hold on. I said, stop right there. He gets this little chuckle because he knows I'm always teasing him. I go, we got to write this down. I said, Graham Motion on this day says he wants to run against the boys. I said, you've come a long way, Graham, in the last year. And he just started laughing. So, yeah, he's up for it. He kind of started going the other way a little bit last week. He was thinking maybe the Duke of Cambridge was the way to go. But we had a nice chat yesterday morning, and they do a lot of research on there. And, Jane Buchanan does a great job with Graham, and she had a whole scenario of horses running and opinions and time form ratings and stuff. So we feel very similar to the Shadwell Mile. We think other than Ribchester, the boys are they're good. And we think the filly race is really deep. We think a grade one placing's better than a grade two placing. Let's just say we're not going to win. I mean, the chances are we're not, let's be honest. I mean, yeah, one out of three favorites win. We're not a favorite. So, and then the money, and we're not money people, but when it comes to a little better scenario with a lot more money, why not go for that? And that's what we did with the Shadwell Mile, wasn't we? We were avoiding anybody. It was like, I think we're better than the boys, and the fillies are running for a lot less money. So let's do it.
Talking with Bob Feld of the Club Racing, one of the owners involved with Miss Temple City. Graham Motion, the trainer, as you heard, she heads to Royal Ascot to compete this Tuesday. Of course, this is a filly that was also bred by Bob through Bob Feld Bloodstock. And Miss Temple City has won 6 of 16 starts. She has earned $1.4 million, and she has been fourth in each of her appearances at Royal Ascot, hoping for a little better this time around. Bob, what is it about Royal Ascot, for those of us who have never been there, that makes it so special?
It's such an event. I'm a big history, a fan of history. And, we're talking centuries in the making, this meet. And, my son Sean went over there 4 years ago and came back just glowing what a great event it was. And he says, we got to go one day. And then, when we had this opportunity and Graham brought it up, I think it was like January, February of her three-year-old year, he said, I think this is the kind of horse we can go to Ascot with, because she wasn't on Lasix, and you know, we were like, wow, okay, you know, Graham likes this filly quite a bit. We didn't know, you know, I never asked either, like, what do you think? You know, how, yeah, you know, the results tell you. I mean, talk's cheap. And, you know, my favorite thing is going to watch these babies train in Ocala or wherever you're breaking your babies as two-year-olds, and the guys going or the ladies like, this is the best one, this is the second yeah. best one. Yeah, it's guessing, because usually it's the seventh best one who they didn't know the horse was there, did its job, you know, was kind of in the background, is the one that ends up being the really nice graded stakes horse. So, it's just one of those things where once he said that, we were like, this is serious stuff, because Graham doesn't talk like that.
Yeah.
You know, he's not one to tip his mitt, as they say.
Is Miss Temple City now the leader in this division here in the United States this year with no Teppan, with her being retired?
I don't know. You know, when you're that close to a horse like this, I don't think about that.
Yeah.
It's still surreal. Oh, this whole thing is surreal. I don't know when it's going to sink in, this whole three-time grade one winner, you know, breeder, co-owner.
It hasn't sunk in yet?
No, it really hasn't. And then, you know, it's one of those things on the outside looking in, you know, because she has her fans, which I love reading stuff on the internet and people making comments. And, you know, and Graham was quoted just recently saying it's the best filly ever trained. Now, how do you wrap your head around that?
He told us the same thing.
The best, you know, how do you wrap your head around you're involved with the best filly Graham Motion's ever had? So it really hasn't sunk in. In theory, you'd like to think so. But, you know, I just know how tough this game is. And believe me, if she was 4-5 and every start the rest of this year, she probably won't be undefeated this year. You know, it's a really tough division. And milers are milers. I mean, when you have a good miler, it's never a given. I mean, I just watched the replay. I think someone tweeted the replay of her Matriarch win, and I forgot how close it was. You know, at the time, you know, we were supposed to win, which is never a good feeling going into a race because it usually doesn't pan out that way. You know, watching it live, she was making that move. I go, we got it, you know. And then next thing you know, here comes Rogara. And so it's, you know, and it was a pretty close photo. So, yeah, you know, of course, in theory, I guess she would be the next, you know, heir apparent to a Teppan.
Yeah.
Maybe, but how do you say that? I feel funny even saying her and Teppan in the same sentence. I mean, they're right there, but we'll see. I mean, this is the year if she's going to step out and really be something super special, which, you know, she's special enough already.
But. And you're right, that division is so tough. I mean, if you look at the Just a Game and you see all the fillies that were in there, I mean, that was just a ridiculous
group. Well, then you factor in the mile as a jocks race and a trip race, mm-hmm. you know. So even if you have the greatest mile in the world, if you don't get the right trip, I mean, look at Tourist Trip that beat us in the Breeders' Cup. I mean, what a dream trip.
Yeah.
You know, if he ends up getting floated four wide Turner for Home, he runs second, you know. You know, what did us in that race was Edgar came back and said I could never get her to relax because Kent was down on the inside with that filly on the rail. And maybe it wasn't a filly, but he chirped out of the gate to hold position. And Miss Temple City heard the chirp and grabbed a hold of the bit. And Edgar said she never let go. And that's why she didn't have the normal kick. You know, little things like that. I think if she doesn't hear the chirp, I think she has a much bigger kick in the stretch, and I think we've run them to a photo. We may not win.
So many factors.
So many factors because, and again, a mile, I mean, you got to get that perfect trip because you can get shut off. And a filly like Miss Temple City, you can't. She's not one of those that's going to re-break. You know, that's one thing about her. She's a high-speed galloper that has this little maybe 16th of a mile kick in her. So, you know, how she's ridden and how the race sets up is very important for her.
Is Edgar going to Ascot?
Edgar's going to Ascot.
He will, okay. Yeah.
Edgar goes to Ascot. It sounds like a Dr. Seuss book or something.
we're all in for Edgar. I mean, he's obviously got a lot of experience. He's never ridden at Ascot, but he's ridden overseas before. So
right.
He seems to get along with her very well. And again, you know, she needs good hands, and I think he's got those hands, and they're a good team.
Now we'll see Miss Temple City in action Tuesday. Make sure you watch her. I'm sure it'll be on TVG. I guess we'll be showing the races, and you get a chance to check that out. But safe trip over there, my friend.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Good luck. Let's go get it done this year.
Yeah, man. Third time's a charm, we hope.
Yeah, maybe you can meet the queen.
Ken
Ramsey would be very jealous. Very jealous.
I'd be happy to meet Pippa. I'm not greedy.
All right, Bob Feld here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We're going to get to a break. We will come back. Our Phasic Tipton Turf Showcase is next, along with our Blood Horse News Update. Stay with us. It's the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay? Along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5480.
In today's handicapping environment, information is vital.
Biasbook.net.
Was speed holding or did the track favor closers?
Biasbook.net.
You don't have time to gather bias information for all your favorite tracks, so let us do it for you.
Biasbook.net.
Track bias notes from across the U.S. and Canada. Keeneland, Saratoga, Santa Anita, Woodbine. Track bias made easy.
Biasbook.net.
Your source for the bias horse.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to Millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor. A six-time stakes winner, including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
Grade 1 winner Data Link by world-renowned sire Warfront. Data Link scored in the prestigious Grade 1 Makers 46 mile at Keeneland, then set a new course record in the Grade 2 Monmouth Stakes. With a pedigree free of Mr. Prospector in the first four generations, Data Link is the perfect outcross option. His first crop yearlings turned heads, selling well above the stud fee. Data Link at Claiborne Farm.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
She is back. This fantastic filly wins the fifth. Songbird.
Songbird returned to the races with another game victory in Saturday's Grade 1 Ogden Phipps at Belmont, recording the eighth Grade 1 victory of her career. The only other filly to have won more Grade 1s at this point in her career, Hall of Famer Serena Song. Songbird is your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Medaglia d'Oro sired one of the greats in Rachel Alexandra, who was Horse of the Year at three and the best three-year-old filly since the 1970s. His current superstars are the latest high-level winner Dickinson, the brilliant eight-time Grade 1 winner Songbird, and 2016 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf winner New Money Honey, who also scored in the Grade 3 Wonder Again Stakes at Belmont last weekend. To learn more about Medaglia d'Oro and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
This is Jockey Orlando Bocachica, and you are listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Here comes Forever Unbridled now, and she sweeps up on the far outside, and she has swept past the field easily, taking the lead under a hand ride in the middle of the racetrack. And now Joel Rosario lets her roll, and she pulls away to a four-length lead as Tiger Ride rallies up the rail into second. Penwith is third behind a very strong Forever Unbridled in the Beldame. Tiger Ride was second, then came Penwith and off the tracks. The final time was 1 minute 50.24 seconds. A completely commanding performance here by Forever Unbridled.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four, with you in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. Larry Colmus with the call of the Beldame and Forever Unbridled's victory at Belmont Park last year. She came back and finished third in the Breeders' Cup Distaff, beaten just a length and a quarter, by Beholder and Songbird. That was in November, and tonight we'll see her in action in the Fleur-de-Lis at Churchill Downs in her 2017 debut, looking to punch her ticket to the Breeders' Cup Distaff with that win in your in later today. 8 o'clock Eastern is when our coverage kicks off. You want to join us on Sirius Channel 108 and on affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, and across the country, and streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net. Well, time now for your Blood Horse News Update and your weekly look at the headlines from BloodHorse.com. Well, here's a good one for you. Unique Bella nears return to training. That's right. Don Alberto Stables' Unique Bella is progressing well in her recovery from the shin issue that caused her to miss the Santa Anita Oaks, the Kentucky Oaks, and the three-year-old filly, the Tappet filly, should return to the track for Jerry Hollendorfer soon. That's what the Hall of Fame trainer said yesterday on June 16th. Unique Bella dropped her debut with a runner-up effort, but then won four straight, including the Santa Ynez Stakes, the Lost Virginess, and the Santa Isabel. She was considered a top contender for the Kentucky Oaks until she was sidelined with the shin problem in late March. And that's your Blood Horse News Update for this morning. Remember that there is no better way to follow racing, breeding, industry news, and more than with Blood Horse. There are so many platforms in which they bring it to you. You can check out their website, bloodhorse.com. You can download the Blood Horse Daily app. Of course, you can always check out Blood Horse Magazine. And on their social media, you can follow Blood Horse on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. No one covers thoroughbred racing, breeding, and our sport like Blood Horse. For over 100 years, it's Blood Horse. Going to be good to see Unique Bella get back into training. She was so brilliant earlier this year, and boy, if she comes back to where she was, you look at that three-year-old filly division, that could get pretty interesting.
Yeah, she's an outstanding filly and had to go to the sidelines, but glad to see her back, and hopefully she can resume her winning ways.
Yeah, should be good to see her in action, and hopefully see her out there relatively soon. All right. And up next, JT, let's take a look at the Fasig Tipton Turf Showcase Race of the Week.
They're off in the Breeders' Cup Turf.
Giovanni adds the million to his grade one collection.
Wise Dan's got him. Wise Dan, brilliant in the mile.
$3 million. Breeders' Cup
Turf. Little Mike now to seize the lead as they make their way toward the top of the stretch.
Point of Entry has defeated Animal Kingdom.
Nothing like turning the Keeneland Lawn into your personal playground. It is all Teppan to win the Coolmore, Jenny Wiley.
Well, with that Fasig Tipton Turf Showcase sale edging ever closer, that comes up in September here in Lexington, it's appropriate that we take a look at the Wise Dan, a grade two at Churchill tonight. It's part of our coverage beginning at 8 o'clock Eastern. Eight horses will go to the post. They'll go a mile and a 16th on the Churchill lawn. JT, this is one of the more wide-open events of the evening.
Yeah, it certainly is. You could make a case for virtually every entrant in here. It's a race where you probably are going to spread if you're playing the pick five or the pick four, and you've got top to bottom. Every horse has a chance. I mean, yeah. You know, one of the longest shots on the board is Blofeld on the outside, and he's trying the turf for the first time. But on our Naira Betts Friday stakes preview show, Anthony liked him a little bit. So, and he's going to be maybe the longest shot on the board. So there's a very deep field here. Marty McGee was on earlier. He liked Cast a Key, as do I. I think he has a little bit of a class edge here. But you look at some of the other horses. Pluvin, who won last year, he has run against Miss Temple City, got beat two lengths by Miss Temple City. So we know he's got some quality. And Thatcher Street right behind him. Actually, the first three finishers of last year's race are back in, and that's a real tribute to the trainers to be able to run in the same stakes back-to-back years, and especially in today's day and age.
So many times we see Hall of Famer Shug McGahee jump up with a turf horse in one of these big races that is maybe a middle-priced horse, and all of a sudden he finds himself in the winner's circle. He has one of those horses in the Wise Dan tonight. That's number one, Security Risk. Phipp Stable, of course, the owners, this five-year-old son of Warfront, on his day can be very, very tough.
Yeah, and, you know, he's never won a stakes race, and this is kind of a big you know, jump up. He did run into grade two last time, but he finished seventh, beaten 8 3/4 lengths. That was on a turf course that was labeled as good. A lot of rain at Pimlico. He may like a little bit firmer ground. It seems like he does, and he's got speed. So you're going to see him leave from the inside. But there's other speed in the race. Chocolate Ride has a lot of speed as well, and we don't really know what Blofeld's going to do on the turf. Sometimes horses get on the grass, and they feel like they're turned out, and they want to just run off.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens with him. But, Security Risk certainly has a chance, even you might say an outside chance, but he's got a great pedigree. He's by Warfront out of an unbridled mare, and he's been working very well. He blew out for this race 47 flat on June the 11th at Belmont Park. So, and you can never count Shug out.
All right, that's your Fasig Tipton Turf Showcase race of the week. The Grade 2 Wise Dan, post time 8:35 Eastern, and a purse of $200,000, mile and a 16th on the lawn. We're going to step away for a quick 30-second word from Fasig Tipton, and then we'll come back and tell you what's ahead for the rest of the program this morning. Stay with us on the Equine Forum.
The inaugural Fasig Tipton Turf Showcase takes place Sunday, September 10th in Lexington, Kentucky. An exciting addition to the Fasig Tipton sales calendar, the Turf Showcase is the only yearling sale in North America exclusively for horses with turf appeal. Did you know that nearly 7,000 races were run on turf in North America in 2016? And more than 40% of graded stakes this year will be turf races. The demand is growing, so don't miss your chance to buy a yearling with true turf appeal. Sunday, September 10th in Lexington, Kentucky. Visit FasigTipton.com.
All right, well, the road to the Breeders' Cup continues tonight on HRRN, 8 o'clock Eastern. Tune in Sirius Channel 108 on our affiliate locally in the Louisville market, and that's ESPN Radio. And you can tune in, of course, by listening to us online, horseracingradio.net. 8 to 10 Eastern, our coverage includes the Grade 1 Stephen Foster, the Grade 2 Fleur de Lis, the Grade 2 Wise Dan, and those will be the three live races. And no, you know what? We'll pick up the Grade 3 Matt Wynn as that goes right after we come on the air at 8 o'clock. So you hear all four graded stakes, 8 o'clock Eastern time tonight. And again, horseracingradio.net is your home. You can see a complete Road to the Breeders' Cup schedule now posted on our website. That's a schedule that includes races like the Whitney and the Arlington Million later this summer, the Pacific Classic from Del Mar. You'll hear the Personal Ensign and the Sword Dancer, the Ballerina, all the big races from Saratoga as we bring you our Saturdays at Saratoga series once again here in 2017. And then we head to the fall classics like the Awesome Again and the Zenyatta and the Front Runner all at Santa Anita, the Alcibiades here at Keeneland, the Turf Mile, Breeders Futurity, all those races coming up in early October on Fall Stars Weekend and the Jockey Club Gold Cup and those big races in New York, too. So a lot of things still to come here on the network this year.
Oh, yeah, we're just getting started.
Yeah, well, just coming off of that Triple Crown, it feels like, okay, you need a little bit of a break, but we don't get one because we head right into that Road to the Breeders' Cup.
Oh, and our listeners all over the country are crying right now for us that we get to go to all these races. They're sobbing into their pillows.
It is going to be a rough go, but hey, somebody has to do it, so we're happy to do it for you. One other programming note or reminder, if you go to our website, you can check out the latest edition of the blog post by our colleague Dan Mason. Dan has joined us on several broadcasts throughout the year, but he has also been posting a series of articles calling all new owners, which is well worth the read. Part three is now posted at horseracingradio.net, so go check that out as well.
Yeah, Dan, a good guy and loves the races.
Yeah.
Loves them.
All right, Mike Nyman is going to join us after our next commercial break. Mike, the director of marketing at Gulfstream, there are several things to talk about, including a huge mandatory payout in the Rainbow Six later today. We'll talk about that coming up next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the 2017 Breeders' Cup.
Multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti, a seven-time Grade 1 winner and earner of more than $6 million, is now the sire of a Classic winner and a Breeders' Cup Sprint winner with his first crop.
Dre Fong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dre Fong's the leader. Dre Fong has won.
That powerful win in the Breeders' Cup Sprint capped a perfect 2016 campaign for Dre Fong that included a dominating win in the Grade 1 Kings Bishop at Saratoga and ended with Dre Fong being named Eclipse Champion Sprinter. In addition, Gio Ponti is also represented by the Classic Queen's Plate winner, Sir Dudley Digs. And Castleton Lions is also home to Justin Phillip, who retired sound after competing in 23 graded stakes, winning 11 of those, including this dominating performance in the Grade 1 AG Vanderbilt.
But it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by two.
Look for Justin Phillip's first crop of two-year-olds in 2017. For more information, visit CastletonLions.com.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Adina Springs Stallion, Fort Larned.
Fort Larned to catch him. They're not going to catch him.
The fastest two-turn horse of his generation, recording eight fires from 107 to 117 and nine Ragozins from 1 to 3.5.
And he's coming home, turning handsprings. Fort Larned, brilliant in the Stephen Foster.
A winner of 10 career starts and nearly $4.5 million in purses.
It's nose and nose to the wire. Fort Larned has won it.
Fort Larned won the Grade 1 Whitney Handicap in a hand ride late with a final time of 147 and 3/5 before wiring the field in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic in 2 minutes flat, earning a 117 buyer, and then taking the Grade 1 Stephen Foster by 6 1/4 lengths in 147 and 2/5. First crop two-year-olds by Fort Larned have sold for up to $170,000. Classic Mr. Prospector Speed and Free of Northern Dancer. A superior racehorse. Fort Larned, standing at Adina Springs. Visit AdinaStallions.com. Since 1940, the National HBPA has provided thoroughbred horsemen with a unified voice, representing their interest and needs before state and federal governments and improving business conditions for thoroughbred horsemen and their employees. With a seat on the board of major industry organizations, the National HBPA continues to support more than 30,000 individual owners, trainers, breeders, and backstretch personnel throughout the United States and Canada. Contact CEO Eric Hamelback to let your voice be heard and support the National HBPA by visiting hbpa.org.
Hi, this is Steve Buttleman, the official bugler at Churchill Downs in the Kentucky Derby, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
As they make their way around the far turn, dreaming of Susie showing the way, but Wildcat Lily is getting ever closer on the outside, and now these two fillies lock horns as they straighten away. Wildcat Lily and Jose Alvarez up to take over the lead. Dreaming of Susie trying to fight back along the inside. These two well clear of By Golly Molly, who's moving outside, speeding through the city, but it's Wildcat Lily in front, and Wildcat Lily wins the Azalea. Dreaming of Susie second, speeding through the city, and By Golly Molly.
Bobby Newman with the call of the 2013 running of the Azalea Stakes. Wildcat Lily, trained by longtime Florida horseman Manny Asperua, getting the victory that day. Manny trained six graded stakes winners, and she, Wildcat Lily, one of them. The Azalea, all part of a Summit of Speed program, which will be coming your way in just a couple of weeks at Gulfstream Park. Well, Manny sadly lost his life. He died this past week at the age of 88, and we want to pass along our thoughts and our prayers to the entire Asperua family. And to help us remember Manny now, let's welcome in Mike Nyman, who is the Director of Marketing at Gulfstream. Mike, sad news, but somebody who had an amazing career training horses and really an amazing life.
Yeah, great guy, a fixture on the scene here in South Florida for a long time. And, of course, his family's been very, very involved in horse racing. His nephew Leo's been very successful here, and like I said, just a really sweet guy, great person to know. And, you know, another trainer had a long-lasting career and did a great job.
Yeah, I mentioned 88 years old. He was born in Venezuela and came here to the United States. And the last horse he started was on April 29th, the last horse at Gulfstream, April 29th, 2016. And good to see everybody remembering Manny in the right way.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, it's just the testimony a lot to the business. I've mentioned this before. How many trainers have had such a long career and a long life in racing? And it just, you know, the health aspect of being outdoors every day and being active and everything, I think there's something to say for that. You see a lot of our trainers living a nice, long, illustrious career and right to the end. And it's just another testament to another great person.
Yeah, and how about this, JT? He trained 3,500 winners in Venezuela before coming to the United States and then trained another 984 winners here in the States. So a very successful career.
Yeah, very comparable to Antonio Sano.
Yeah, very similar.
Yeah.
Yeah, very, very
similar. I met him through Laz Barrera many years ago.
Yep, yep. Well, Manny will definitely be missed. Mike, let's segue into what's happening currently at Gulfstream, and the focus is going to be on that mandatory payout in the Rainbow Six later today, and expecting, what, $4 to $5 million in the pool?
Yeah, that's what we're expecting, around $4 to $5 million. We have over $1 million going into the pool, actually carried over for the last, I guess, 6 or 7 weeks, and today we figure there'll probably be about, like you said, about $4 to $5 million in the total pool, so a lot of money out there. Come get your share, especially with Father's Day tomorrow. Good day to hit the ticket.
You don't have to give us the names, but you can just tell us the numbers.
I wish I knew it myself.
Yeah, just text me, Mike.
I know you're a sharp handicapper. You must have some idea what's going on.
Well, to tell you the truth, I've been so busy. Like I always tell you guys, it's always like in the last minute when I get to look at the racing form. So right after we get off the radio here, I'll take a shot and take a peek at it and see what it's looking like. But I always like to ask a lot of the Sharpies around the track what they think. So it should be good. It always brings a lot of excitement on this day. And these mandatory payout days have been great. Customers have been looking for them, and you get it today.
Are you wearing the lucky tie today?
I wear a lucky tie every Saturday.
Well, you know, the program, the Rainbow Six, has gone unhit for 34 consecutive programs, which is yielding a jackpot pool of nearly $1 million. And then with all the money that's going to be bet into that pool today, again, you're looking at $4 to $5 million potentially into the Rainbow Six. So with the mandatory payout, it's well worth a shot. We would encourage everybody listening to handicap the Gulfstream card and, give it a go. Why not?
Yeah, no doubt about it, and it's a great day to do it. We have a great card, including two stake races. We got 200 granders today, Soldier's Dancer and the Ginger Punch. Both will be contesting on the turf at a mile and a 16th, so, you know, that will add to the intrigue. Always a lot of turf racing here, and always adds a lot of excitement and intrigue, and got to really have some sharp handicapping, to pull six winners, and a little bit of luck, and hopefully all of you out there will have that today, and catch a piece of the ticket.
It's really nice that the sequence ends with a stakes race too, instead of the usual, maiden claimer or 6250. It really can give you some confidence going into the last race.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And our racing office does a superb job here. It's obvious in our handle and the popularity of our product. So yes, we like to try to do different things. And I agree with you. It's nice to end the day sometimes on a stake race and, not on a cheaper type of card. So I think it's good. It adds to the intrigue, probably adds to the difficulty, but it makes it all that much better, and everybody's looking for that good pay out there.
Visiting with Mike Nyman, Director of Marketing at Gulfstream Park, racing continuing all summer long at Gulfstream, and, of course, that mandatory Rainbow Six payout later today. Mike, the other thing that you've done that's generated some excitement at Gulfstream this summer is the switch to Twilight Racing Fridays. Tell me about that.
Yes, Twilight Racing, as we've been doing here for 3 weeks now, we kick it off at 2:15 each week. And a lot of people say to me, well, why is it 2:15? Well, in Florida, we can't race past 7 o'clock, so they really kind of want to get in 9 races. So we run as close to 7 o'clock as we can, but it still gives people a chance to get out of work late, to come on over, you know, hanging out for the last few races, and we have a lot of things going on for the, you know, for the racing customers. We're doing a bingo each week for prizes. We have a losing ticket drawing we do each night with smart watches and smart TVs. We give away really nice prizes. We also have brands that pre-band, pre-concerts to go from 7 to 10. So last night we had a Billy Joel tribute band, and I'm still recovering from being on my feet for 3 hours. I love Billy Joel, so for me it was a lot of fun last night. We had a huge crowd, and it was a great night. So each week we'll have this going on through September 1st. The last day actually will be interesting because all the drawings from the losing tickets, we're going to give away a trip to the Breeders' Cup for two. So it's a great time to be out here on Fridays. And if you're in the simulcasting area, you know, great cards. Handles have been way up for us on these Twilight Fridays. So everybody's been very satisfied with it here at Gulfstream. And just another thing that we try to do to bring out for the fans.
I'm glad you mentioned the handle, Mike. I was going to ask you about that. Obviously, we've seen this in racing for years, that concerts can get people to the track, but the key is getting people to participate when they're there and make a wager or two. It sounds like you've been able to do that.
Yeah, 100%. We have a group now we started called Wagering Coaches. And actually, we have one of them is Octavio Vigari. You may be familiar with him, was one of the local writers. And so he's involved with us, and we've been doing a lot to help customers, you know, understand how to read a program, how to place a bet. I spent a lot of time on Fridays now and Saturdays downstairs and getting to meet a lot of new people, and it's amazing, especially with this promotions we've done with the Twilight Fridays. We really bring out a younger crowd, and they're really eager and interested to learn, you know, how to place a bet, how to understand racing, what really is going on. So it's been positive, really, in every aspect, and especially in trying to grow the business.
Well, Octavio Vergara, he's quite a character, and he knows his way around the racing form, an excellent handicapper, too.
So that's all good. So that should all work out well for us. We have a really good crew here as far as, helping with customer service. And we even have Abby Foley. You're probably familiar with her. She was also an ex-jockey, had rode Mom's Command back in the day, and she's also part of our team. And so you have really good access to people that have really been very, very in close to the sport, understand the game, and they're just great people to be around. They're very enthusiastic, love to talk about horse racing, and that's what we all like to do. So it all kind of fits in for us.
Yeah, the beat continues with great things happening at Gulfstream Park in South Florida throughout the entire summer. It's not just about the championship meet, but all summer long. Mike, let's talk about what's going to happen in a couple of weeks, maybe the signature day of the summer meet with the Summit of Speed and some winning your in action for the Breeders' Cup on tap. It should be another phenomenal renewal of the Summit of Speed.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So that'll take place on 2 weeks from today, on July 1st. So that's a Summit of Speed Day. That's the races that we basically resurrected that used to race over at Calder, and we've turned it into a very, very successful event. We've got the five stakes going that day, over $1 million in purses. Of course, you mentioned we have two races, the Princess Rooney and Smile Handicap, the Smile Sprint, which both are win and you're in for the Breeders' Cup. So for a lot of the horsemen, those are very important races. It gives them a shot to get into the Breeders' Cup at Del Mar. And we're looking forward to that day. It's a great weekend here because it's, you know, all part of the whole July 4th holidays. We have a holiday soiree on the Sunday the 2nd, and then July 4th we'll have our Garucci fireworks show. It's free for the public. So if you're down here, it's free parking, free admission, and we'll have bands and music and giveaways and all kinds of things. So it's another signature time here at Gulfstream always for July 4th.
You know, I have to tell you, I sent Mike an email yesterday asking if he'd be available to come on the program. And Mike Nyman is one of those guys that when you email him, when you text him, he doesn't make you wait. He gets right back to you. And I hadn't heard back from Mike for a few hours yesterday. And so I sent him a text to follow up on the email. And he responded to the email. But the point was that he said to me, I thought maybe he was on vacation and maybe that's why I missed him. And he said, "Vacation? Really?" And then he went through his entire travel schedule coming up this summer with a trip to Del Mar and some different things that he has coming up over the summertime. And I told him I wanted to be Mike Nyman. And he told me, "Well, you're halfway there, Mike."
Yeah, almost.
good line. Yeah, what's it like traveling around with Ronnie? Are you guys still doing that?
We just started it. He took one trip already up to Ocala, and then he's got a bunch of trips coming up in July up into Orlando, Daytona, and some of the other markets. So, yeah, if you're in any of those other markets in Florida, and keep your eyes out in July and August. We'll be posting information out there on that. But Ron Nicoletti will be doing a little tour, and we bring a little swag and have a little bit of fun with the customers. And we're even going to do some things where Gulfstream's going to put up some tickets for some bets, and the customers can all participate with Ron's picks. So it's just another way for us just to get our product and our branding out there to the public. And, it's not always, hey, we're here, come here. We'll come out and see you too. So we're looking forward to it. Ron enjoys it. And it's another piece of our marketing program here at Gulfstream.
Well, Mike, keep it rolling. We're going to look forward to hearing from you again in 2 weeks with that Summit of Speed program. You'll join us on this Equine Forum show and talk to us about some of the contenders in those races and some of the things that people can expect throughout the day. So appreciate it, my friend. Thanks for everything, and we'll catch up soon.
Anytime. Thanks a lot, guys. Great being with you.
All right. Mike Nyman here on HRRN. And really, the things that they have done to attract people to the races at Gulfstream, we've talked about it throughout the entire championship meet this winter, and now here in the summertime, whatever they're doing, it's working. So keep it going, guys. Well done.
Yeah, Mike's a brilliant marketer, and a lot of the things that he started have really paid dividends for Gulfstream Park.
All right, we'll get to one final break. We'll come back and tell you what you can expect moving forward here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, all presented by Woodbine Entertainment.
Power.
But Tapazar is just playing too good today, and it's going to be Tapazar and Garrett Gomez coming home with his ears pricked to win the Sham Stakes.
Passion.
And a big performance from Tapazar and Cory Nakatani as they romp in the San Fernando.
Performance.
And Tapazar, a sterling performance today. Tapazar and Cory Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Gainsway stallion Tapazar is a grade one winning miler by leading sire Tappet from the family of champion Untappable, and is Tappet's only grade one winning miler at stud. Tapazar retired sound with more than $972,000 in earnings following a career in which he broke his maiden by 10 and a half lengths at Churchill Downs at two, went wire to wire to win the grade three Sham Stakes at three, and was a runaway winner of the Grade 2 San Fernando and Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at 4.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwiches, Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What do we do?
Leave it to me, sir. Hello, boss. Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Roger.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Roger.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's.
Come in. Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com. Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
This is David Jacobson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Don't forget forget, on Sunday, July 2nd, you can watch, wager, and win on the 158th running of the Queen's Plate, the first jewel of Canada's Triple Crown of Thoroughbred Racing, and the longest continuously run stakes in North America. Woodbine will guarantee the early pick four pool at $150,000 and the late pick four pool at $300,000. They'll also be offering 20-cent bet minimums on all Triactor, Superfecta pick three, and pick four pools that afternoon. And be sure to try your luck with the special Queen's Plate Thoroughbred Pick 5 only offered on plate day. That's $600,000 in guaranteed Pick 4 and Pick 4 and Pick 5 pools that you can share in. For more information, visit queensplate.com. And you can follow at Woodbine Racing on Twitter. Of course, we will be there to bring you that exclusive coverage of the Queen's Plate here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And one of the more fun trips that we get to make each year. And that should be a heck of a horse race again this year, JT.
Yeah, it's always a great time at Woodbine, and our friend Alex Fanti does such a nice job and treats us so well. We look forward to it.
All right, well, we talked about Royal Ascot earlier with Bongo Bob, Bob Feld, who joined us in studio. If you missed the interview, head back to our website, horseracingradio.net. The podcast of this program going to be posted shortly after 10 o'clock Eastern. Bob talked about the experience of being at Royal Ascot with Miss Temple City. Well, earlier this week, it was announced that ExpressBet has been honored as the official U.S. ADW of Royal Ascot. And ExpressBet, a huge supporter of Horse Racing Radio Network and our ExpressBet radio shows every Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Yesterday, Dustin Fabian with ExpressBet took the time to join Anthony Stabile on ExpressBet Radio, and he talked about what this relationship means to ExpressBet.
ExpressBet, we're in it for the better. We support horse racing. We support the people that bet the races. And at ExpressBet, we're really proud, and we're humbled even, to say that we have been named the preferred U.S. betting site of Royal Ascot. And to be recognized by an organization like Royal Ascot is, you know, means the world to us. They're an incredibly prestigious group of, you know, 5 days of races over in the UK. And, you know, with that designation as the preferred betting site, we realized we had to up the ante on what we were offering this year. So this year, we are going to be offering at expressbet.com 0% takeout on exactas throughout all 5 days of the meet, which means you come to ExpressBet. If you don't have an account, you sign up for an account using one of our sign-up bonuses. Start betting the races for Royal Ascot. You hit an exacta, we're going to give you the takeout on that bet back. So, you know, really, I can't think of a better bet in horse racing next week. Royal Ascot has 19 graded stakes races. They're giving away $8 million in purses. Some of the top U.S. horses are going to be there. La Coronel, Long on Value. Wesley Ward, I think, has 419 horses he's sending over. And then, you know, you bet these great races with us, you play the exactas, and we're giving you the takeout back. So it's going to be a fun couple of days of racing.
How great is that? Go to expressbet.com right now, open a new account using promo code HRRN125, and you're going to get a special $125 sign-up bonus, plus you get that zero takeout on exactas for the Royal Ascot meet, which begins on Tuesday. Why not?
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah, you're not going to get a better deal than that.
No, awesome.
And huge fields, big payouts. Yeah. Go for it.
I'm going to wheel Miss Temple City.
Yeah, why not? I mean, it's a great promotion, and that is quite an honor for ExpressBet to be part of that, too. So that's going to be great. All right, we want to thank all of our guests for appearing on the show this morning. It kicked off with Marnie McGee of the Daily Racing Forum talking about the Stephen Foster program and walking through each of the greatest stakes on the Churchill program tonight. Ian Wilkes joined us. He has five horses running in the stakes races, and he talked about every single one in the first half of the show. Gary Falter from OwnerView talking about their big announcement yesterday with the keynote speaker, Jeff Fager, and that should be a lot of fun, too, coming up in October. Bob Feld talking about Miss Temple City and Royal Ascot, and then just a short time ago, Mike Nyman from Gulfstream Park joining us. So it's been a busy program, and we're not done yet. We come back 8 o'clock Eastern time tonight with our exclusive coverage of the Stephen Foster, the Fleur de Lis, and a couple of other stakes, the Wise Dan and the Matt Wynn, all part of that coverage tonight, 8 to 10 Eastern time. For those of you who are just joining us, if you missed it, you can tune in on Sirius Channel 108. That is Sirius 108 tonight, nationwide throughout North America. If you're in the Louisville market, it's 93.9 FM in Louisville. And, of course, you can stream us worldwide on our website, anywhere in the world, on your computer, smartphone, or mobile device, horseracingradio.net.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Very good card and exciting racing.
We had that poll question out there this morning at HRN on Twitter, and it was a prop bet. You could have Gunrunner, who is the heavy favorite in the Stephen Foster, or you could take the rest of the field. So it's Gunrunner or anybody else. And let's see if I can get that real quick, and we'll pass that along to you, the results of that poll question. What do you think, JT?
Gunrunner.
Yeah, 75% saying it's Gunrunner, 25% saying, okay, we'll try to beat the favorite. Again, tune in tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern, and find out if Gunrunner can pull it off and punch his ticket to the Breeders' Cup Classic right here on HRRN. Again, our thanks to all of our special guests. Our thanks to our producers, Lee Delapina here in the studio, and Sean C. Chauncey handling all of our social media. For Jude Feld, I'm Mike Penna. We'll talk to you later tonight, 8 Eastern. Go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.